I can't
do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Raising the debt ceilings does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy.
I know words. I have the best words. Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Peddling Fiction Podcast. I'm your host, the voice and soul of so-called fiction, Johnny Profita, and broadcasting live but under the weather, along with me is Justin Hillbilly Boy Campbell. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm better than I was earlier in the week, but still not feeling particularly great. It's amazing what some antibiotics will do for you, though.
Yeah, I feel okay, but I feel like O'Reilly at the beginning of that fucking segment. Dude, fucking live. It's been a frustrating day for me in the charts. So anyway.
Has it been a bloodbath?
No, not for me. It was basically me just avoiding taking losses today, but it's just very frustrating price action, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then, yeah, I did just get stopped out for a small loss by like a cunt hair here. And then of course it's ripping right to my target. So, to be expected, but yeah, took a little nibble there and it didn't pan out. So just one of those days in the life of a day trader. There's always tomorrow.
For people who don't mess with markets very frequently, sometimes just not taking a loss is a win in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting all fucking morning. Yeah. There was like a really nice move in the morning that I was anticipating. I just couldn't get an entry for it. It just ran way too fast. And I was like, all right, if it comes back up to this level, I'm going to hop in. And then it chopped around for like 4 hours. I'm sitting there watching it and it got within two ticks of my entry. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in that 4 hour period. It almost tripped me in. And then it went the other direction. So I was like, ooh, if it comes back up there now, it's probably a bad sign. So I killed the trade right before it tripped me into it, which was good. I avoided a loss and I was like, I think it's going the other way. So then I hopped in the other way and it just, it rolled right over me by, you guessed it, two ticks. And now it's going right to where I thought it was going to go in the last 30 minutes here. So yeah, good times. Not all sunshine and rainbows when you're trading, but yeah, some days are like that. Anyway, at least I'm not sick.
Right.
At least I don't have the long COVID. That must be really miserable.
Did we talk about that last week? The where they have finally, I think it was the CDC, put out an announcement that we should finally stop calling it long COVID. That it's no different than just like cold symptoms. So we're not going to use the long COVID terminology anymore.
Yeah. We did discuss that briefly. So we have another update too. Some more backpedaling by the CDC. Maybe we can just lead off with that because it's kind of a minor story, but I thought it was worth mentioning. They're taking the don't take ivermectin thing off. So ivermectin, the horse paste, I guess, is okay to take now. Again, in case you were wondering.
Yes. The FDA settles the ivermectin case and agrees to remove the controversial Stop It post, the one where they were effectively calling ivermectin horse paste. Like
FDA,
FDA itself was referring to it as horse paste and telling people to stop using ivermectin. Like, it's actually a very effective drug and has been proven to work for a lot of things, including having some effectiveness against COVID. Is the FDA really going to like run with this horse paste narrative? Yes, yes, they absolutely 100% are. And it got taken to court, and finally they have settled, and they're going to take down their post, and horse paste is A-okay again.
Not 3 years too late. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I remember reading that that's what they were giving to pilots as like a prophylactic. All the pilots that were still flying during COVID and everything, they were all taking ivermectin to prevent them from getting it. And then it's supposed to mitigate symptoms as well. And yeah, it won, was it a Nobel Prize?
Yes.
Not that that means much anymore, but I think back when it did win one, they had some validity to those things before Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize. What's his name? Krugman won the Nobel Laureate for fucking economics. Man, they're taking some fucking L's over there.
Well, and like whenever the information on COVID or on ivermectin started coming out in 2020, 2021, you could see where the pressure was coming from for why they didn't want people using ivermectin. Because once you started to dig into it, you find out you basically just give it away for free in a lot of places. Like there's no money to be made on ivermectin. All of the patents, like everything around ivermectin, there's no money to be made from having this, like flooding the market and being used as a primary source of treatment. So like all you got to do is follow the money, and you can see pretty early on, like not only that, but the doctors that were prescribing it was proving to be very effective. And then you had doctors losing their licenses for prescribing it. You had the CDC and the FDA running these like smear campaigns against ivermectin, calling it horse paste, saying you're not a horse, you're not a cow, just stop it, stop taking it. And then you had like the bullshit reports that were coming out of like, I think it was the Mississippi Center for Disease Control, Poison Control, Mississippi Poison Control, that said reports of poisoning from ivermectin have gone up 700%. It's like calls to the Poison Control Center had gone up 700% because people were starting to use ivermectin, except for when you looked at it, it actually went from like 3 calls to 10 calls or something like that. Like, and they weren't all ivermectin related, but like it was fucking insane. And also the ones that were ivermectin related were not people using the actual ivermectin as it was prescribed or the way they were supposed to. It was people that were doing dumb shit that obviously was going to result in them getting hurt. Like the, what was it? The hydrochloroquine thing where, they said some chick tried to cure her husband of COVID by using, fish tank cleaner because it said it had hydrochloroquine in it, but then it turned out hydrochloroquine. But then it turned out that chick was actually just trying to murder her husband and get the insurance money. She wasn't trying to, he didn't have COVID or anything. She was just trying to fucking kill him. These are the stories that they would run with during that time to try to paint anything and everything as terrible.
Yes. Oh, you mean the corporate press that was brought to you by Pfizer?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. it was something to watch the entire left wing of America become big pharma supporters pretty much overnight. Wild. Absolutely fucking wild. it was also like a weird dynamic in some areas around here in Mexico where you have like the ANCAPs, the expats that are like ANCAPs, kind of like me. And then you have like the hippie dippy fucking surf, you know, chicks and everything down here that also didn't take the vaccine, but only because like they don't take any medicine ever. They're all holistic. But yeah, we aligned on that one.
It was amazing the number of anti-vax moms and stuff like that that became very pro-vax during that time. Like that was, you've never given your kids any vaccinations whatsoever, but now they roll out this new COVID shot and everybody has to have it. Not just everybody, but especially your like toddler child who's not at risk at all. That was the most like mind-boggling thing about that whole like 2-year stretch.
Yeah, just kind of how flippant people were with their children's lives. You know, it's just like, well, they could get a cold for a while, or you can give them this kind of experimental drug and roll the dice with that. Okay. like Jesus Christ. I would much rather, like, if I had to choose, COVID was a known entity for children. What was going to happen to young, healthy children if they got COVID, which was absolutely nothing. 99.99999% of the time.
Right. Like there was like super, super rare cases where there was once one where there was like a 12-year-old that had something like really, really bad happen. Like, okay, that kid also had a whole lot of other like really bad shit already wrong. Like there were instances that were like the exception to the rule, but those were the ones that all of those like leftist morons glommed onto. It's like, oh, but look at this 12-year-old kid that had this and this and this. And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, it's the same thing they do with all their horrible argument, like abortion too. It's just like, well, like this one lady was raped and then she had to have the baby. It's like, all right. Yeah. The exception that kind of proves the rule there.
If it were
my kids, I'd be like, all right, well, yeah, they could get COVID and they'll be sick for a few days and then they'll be fine. Or I can give them this fucking thing and God knows what it's going to do to them. The one thing I know for sure is it's not going to stop them from getting COVID. So right. Like there was literally no benefit. It's wild, man, that parents couldn't see through that.
Speaking of and how things have changed so much over the last couple of years, when I went to urgent care to get the antibiotics and stuff, because I figured I had a sinus infection. I used to get them pretty regularly, and it's been a few years actually since I've had one. But I kind of figured that's what it was, and I was feeling like shit. So I went to the urgent care and was like, I got a sinus infection. I need, you know, some stuff. And they checked me all out, and they're like, do you want a COVID test? I was like, no, it's a sinus infection. I just want a Z-Pak. They're like, okay, just have to ask. Like, it's not even like there used to be where if you came in with even the slightest bit of the sniffles, you were getting COVID tested immediately. Like, they might not even let you in the door unless you could prove that you didn't have COVID. And now it's like, do you want a COVID test? Yeah. No. Okay. Like,
it just sort of faded away. as suddenly as it appeared, it disappeared. And all their protocol, the bullshit protocol that you had to follow for years. Now it doesn't matter. It's all water under the bridge.
We really should just run like constant clips and replays of us saying all of the things that the CDC right. and the FDA are now saying, like long COVID is bullshit, ivermectin is actually okay, all of it.
Yeah, we should put together a montage of that. Speaking of water under the bridge.
Oh, God.
You must be not feeling well if you missed that transition. I thought that would jump out like, I don't know, a barge taking out a gigantic bridge in Baltimore.
Did you watch the different videos of it?
I watched a couple, yeah.
Man, so
and then I listened to Joe Biden give his remarks. So
yeah, let's get some Joe Biden thoughts on the bridge.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risked their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But
Do you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can.
You said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also,
but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and open.
Okay. So now all of us get to foot the bill for Baltimore. That's nice.
Did you see the one where, now I got to go find it. There was a clip where Joe Biden says that he's ridden the train across that bridge many times.
I did see that one. I wasn't sure if I sent it to you or not. Yeah.
It's not a train bridge.
When he used to commute from fucking, I don't know, Pennsylvania to DC or something. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what commute he was doing, but he said, yeah, he crossed that bridge many times, whether by car or by train. And I don't know. There's no train. That's for sure. So he's a little confused about that point. This idea that the federal government should just pay when there's like a fucking natural disaster somewhere or an incident like this, which was not a natural disaster. But yeah, I mean, like that's what insurance is for. Like, let the insurance fucking pay. Why are we don't have any money, by the way, $35 trillion in debt and counting. I don't know how we're going to squeeze this. Where is this money going to come from? I mean, what about Ukraine?
So what are your thoughts on the, I've seen like whole threads on why this was like a terror attack or some nefarious thing. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think it was a terrorist attack. I don't. I think it, you know, I watched this one guy kind of explain how these things work. I am by no means an expert in this arena, but yeah, it's like, you know, you could see the ship lose power. And when it loses power, the rudder is just basically useless. So it just starts fucking drifting. And then the power comes back on and the rudder kind of kicks in and steers it right towards the fucking bridge. And then the power goes out again. And it's just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe there was some operator error there. Like they could have dropped an anchor sooner or something like that to stop the ship. But yeah, I mean, I feel like if it was going to be a cyber attack, they would have, you know, like a terrorist attack, they would have done it at a busier time.
Right. It hit at like 1:20 in the morning. I think they projected that there was a total of 10 vehicles on the bridge at the time when it happened, plus or minus like 40 construction workers who were doing service work on the bridge during the night. The talking about the rudder thing, like that's one of those things. And if you look at the water level on the bridge and surrounding, it looks like the water's pretty high right now. Which is not unusual. This is a time of year where a lot of rivers get relatively high. And like, for instance, on the Mississippi River, once water levels reach a certain point, they don't allow anybody but seasoned boat captains to pilot past certain points of the river because the way the water moves, if you're not at the right spot coming into a certain turn or whatever, you're guaranteed that you're going to hit a bridge so far down. So like there are like cutoff points on the Mississippi where at certain times of the year, nobody except for the most seasoned, knowledgeable captains are even allowed to pilot past certain points. And like you were saying with the rudder, like when you see the power goes out, that rudder is now fucking useless. Like your rudder is absolutely useless without power. You are now at the mercy of the current of wherever the water is taking you. And you see the ship move, like turn very quickly as soon as the power goes out. And then like, you know, by the time they get it back, it's too late. It was a full 10 seconds. Like I sat there and timed it from the time that you see like the ship go black to when the lights come back on. It was a full 10 seconds. That's a century in like moving on water.
Yeah. When you're carrying that kind of load too, it's just like, I don't know how you stop that thing. It weighs like 100,000 tons. It must take an awful lot to change the direction. And yeah, you can kind of see once the power does kick back on, like it looked like they did try to like fucking kick into gear and correct it. And there just wasn't enough time. Channel's very narrow. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, we have a user who launches his boat under that bridge.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Now you launch your boat over that bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some of the like the conspiracies on the boat and everything, and it's just, like at this point I haven't seen anything that would indicate to me it was anything other than what it was. Maybe they shouldn't have been in that spot at that time. That's entirely possible, but I don't know that that's as much nefarious as just a like oversight type of a thing. Like, yeah, like he says, I'm not ready to attribute to malice that which could be explained by incompetence or equipment failure.
Yeah.
And it's probably a combination of the two. It probably is legitimately equipment failure paired with incompetence.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of my gist of it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a good conspiracy theory, but this one just didn't quite fucking do it for me.
Well, I'm like the frequency that like, I don't think people understand how often bridges get hit. Like if you live, having lived and worked on the Mississippi River, like a bridge gets hit all the time. Like you may have to detour 45 miles out of your way to go to the next bridge because the one you were going to go, the one that you normally go across got hit by a barge, or like a barge got loose, or, you know, they missed their turn or whatever, and they hit something like, and they shut it down to do all the inspections and stuff, and and you have to detour.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just really appreciate that the federal government has their back and they're willing to spend other people's money to rebuild this bridge. I'm sure that's going to be a fucking, oh my God, dude. Could you imagine how much money they're going to waste rebuilding? What's that?
They say it's going to take anywhere from 4 to 5 years to rebuild it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay. So like, I just don't want the federal government doing it. I just don't, like, I don't know. There's all kinds of fucking ways to fund that. You don't need to steal from the rest of the country or, you know, print money that we don't have to rebuild a bridge that somebody crashed into in Baltimore. That's not what you should be doing. And that doesn't make Joe Biden like some fucking humanitarian. Like, he's not stroking a check. I know they love to pretend that them spending your money is like makes them such great people. I don't understand why people can't see that, but he's going to pat himself on the back. Oh yeah, we're going to stand with Baltimore. We're not leaving until this is done. Blah, 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 blah. He'll go visit. He'll be there for 36 hours. He'll never be there again. Maybe once they finish the bridge, if he's still fucking alive in 4 to 5 years, which is not very likely, he'll go for the fucking ribbon cutting ceremony and be like, I made this happen, when he didn't. He didn't. A private fucking construction company is going to build the bridge. He's just going to overpay for it with your money. Well, so he's not a fucking saint.
Hopefully when they build the bridge, they'll make sure, or when they rebuild the bridge, they'll make sure to address racism in.
Yeah.
if an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, but that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
Yes. Yeah, Pete Buttigieg, have no fear. He's on the case. I hope he heads up the construction of this bridge to make sure all the Blacks and Puerto Ricans can make through underneath it when they want to go to, I don't know what that port leads to, to a dock. Wow, dude. Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, who was the captain of the ship? Do they do DEI with these fucking, with the shipping?
Apparently, it was supposedly an Indian vessel. There have been a lot of jokes going around about that.
like dot Indian.
Yes, yes.
The dot, not the feather. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm just glad that Pete Buttigieg is, you know, transportation secretary. Hadn't heard about this guy since the... what was the thing that fucking the train derailment had since that, right? That was the last fucking debacle under his watch.
Here's some of the jokes. The text of the Baltimore Coast Guard from the crew aboard the container ship moments after it collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, published by the Associated Press. Send Bob's and Vagine. Send Bob's and Vagine. Send Bob's and Vagine.
Oh, man.
There were some good ones. Quick, too. You can count on Twitter to deliver some solid jokes as soon as something serious happens.
Yeah. There's always a silver lining when there's a tragedy like this. And at a minimum, we're going to get some great memes out of it. Yeah, so yeah, go get into the Facebook group and check out the meme stream.
Are you crazy?
You're fucking
beginning.
You bloody fuck. Oh man, that is still fucking crazy that it took out that whole goddamn bridge, man. It is quite a fucking disaster. And
so like this says here, the biggest problem moving forward is that Baltimore is a huge natural gas and natural gas receiving hub, not to mention car deliveries. It was a hazmat route for I-95 as well. Now they need to run 40 miles out of the way to get around. Like, I guess it's not particularly surprising how that bridge came down, like, as quickly and as just like totally the collapse was when it hit, because number one, that's a massive ship. Like, I think people underestimate how huge one of those ships is and how much weight that is. So number one, that's a massive, massive ship. So that's, you know, that's not like hitting it with your fucking John boat or, you know, the little speedboat I've got out here behind the shop. Like, that's a huge, huge ship that hit it. That's a ton of weight. Number two, none of these things are very well maintained. Like they were talking about the bridge, they have crews out there that work on it at night because they can't shut it down. So like they just send crews out every single night to basically do like patchwork on it to keep the thing functional so that they can keep running it, because it is such a major hub and it is so busy that they're just always like doing their best to keep it operational. The I-64 bridge going into Louisville, it just collapsed for no fucking reason several years ago, like because it was just so old, and then which then like kind of triggered to start looking at other bridges around the area to see where they were starting to break down and start making repairs. But like our infrastructure has been ignored for so long, like and they talk about this infrastructure bill that Joe Biden got passed. What's happened with that? Where is it?
Shovel-ready jobs.
I mean, all I've seen around here is they continue to patch the same potholes that they patched last year. Like, and they're not even doing a good job of that, because the potholes that they patch then wear out and need to be repatched within 2 years. So, like, what are we accomplishing here? What's actually being done with all of this infrastructure spending?
Yeah. That's I know, dude. They're so fucking incompetent. It's unbelievable. And they just complain, like, everything's falling into disarray, and they'll complain about it. You know, they've been talking about how bad the infrastructure is since, I don't know, at least Obama, 15 fucking years ago. Like, we have bridges that are falling down. It's like, all right, you guys going to do anything about it? Because you're spending fucking $7 trillion a year. None of that's going towards the bridges and the roads and everything. I mean, that's apparently where all of our tax dollars go, right? For the roads and the bridges and the schools. And Johnny, all of those things are unusable.
They just need more taxes. They just need to tax the ultra rich even more.
Ah, yes. Just 2 cents.
Michael Bloomberg. What's the thing they all have in common? They all pay a lower tax rate than a Boston public school teacher. That's not right. And it's why President Biden is taking on the billionaires. And it's why, just this week, I reintroduced my ultra millionaires tax. If someone starts a business and makes it big, good for them. My bill says that if you make it big, I mean really big, I mean more than $50 million, then pitch in 2 cents on every dollar over $50 million. Why? So everyone else can have a chance. That's it. It's simple. After all, these billionaires made their fortunes on roads we all paid to maintain and with workers we all paid to educate. And what can we get when millionaires and billionaires finally pay a fair share? Universal childcare and pre-K, tuition-free technical school and public college. And we can make the kind of investments in our communities that will give everyone a fighting chance.
Dude, I cannot fucking stand her. She drives me crazy. Get back on the fucking reservation, dude. Jesus Christ. Like, This narrative, and speaking of Obama, he started this shit, which is like, you know, if you have a successful company, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. And you used the roads that we all paid for, and they were educated in schools that we all paid for. It's like, first of all, nobody needs these employees that were educated in government schools to do these jobs. They just don't. You retrain them as soon as you hire them. And most likely you're trying to knock every fucking thing that they learned in government schools out of their head so that they do a decent job. But what is this like? So you need an additional 2% over 50 million so that everyone else has a chance. What? So when Jeff Bezos makes billions of dollars by providing people with fucking amazing Amazon services, they're just like, you click a button twice and you got a fucking thing at your door later that day, the next day, from China or something like that. He makes billions. You get all these goods and services that you want. How is that stopping you from doing things? I just don't understand this. I mean, they have this fixed pie fallacy of the world, where it's just like, well, if he's making billions, he's obviously stealing it from you. He's taking it from all these unfortunate people that, I guess, because he didn't pay enough in taxes, that was stopping them from being productive and making billions. This whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. And it's so infuriating to why, oh yeah, anything over 50 million is 2 cents. It's like, that's exactly what they did with the income tax too.
And say the thing that's stopping me has absolutely nothing to do with Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or any of them. It's literally the government. Sent all my shit into the accountants and got our taxes back, and they want an additional seven after they already took us for about $25,000 in taxes that we paid in for the year. They want another seven. That's like, right. Why? Now, why? Why do you need my money? Like,
well, because the billionaires aren't paying their fair share. That's why, Justin. Yeah. That's why. Except that it doesn't matter how much they take in taxes. They're going to spend more than that. This whole thing, like, they don't need taxes. They just print the money. They don't even print it anymore most of the time. They just couple keystrokes and the money's there. So why do they even have to take money from you? It's all just to maintain this illusion that, you know, your tax dollars fund this government and it's this social fucking contract. It's all so ridiculous. And oh yeah, just 2% more over 50 million. That's all. And yeah, I mean, the reality is, like, that's not going to matter to somebody that's making 50, but like, why make over 50 if they're just going to take another 2% off the top of that? And again, they're just going to rearrange their affairs. The tax code is tens of thousands of pages long. They'll figure out a way to rearrange their affairs so they don't have to pay that one either. And it's all just going to keep ratcheting down lower and lower and lower. And the percentage is going to go up and up and up because it's never enough for them. Go, dude, if you went back 20 years ago and you told the federal government, like, listen, we'll give you $5 trillion in tax revenue a year. Will that be enough? They'll be like, oh yeah, that'd be plenty. And they're taking $5 trillion now and they're spending seven or six and a half, something like that. Or maybe they're taking in four and a half and they're spending six, whatever it is. It's never enough for them. And they're not, like, this money just goes to line their pockets. It's not going to help you get ahead. Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, taking 2% from the million, from the ultra millionaires, is not going to help you get ahead in life. It is. I mean, if that was the case, we'd all be fucking filthy rich, because they've been taxing people to death in this country. Millionaires and billionaires and everything. Like, yeah, they pay a lower rate because, yeah, obviously we've hashed this out like a million times on the show before, but like, that's because they're not paying fucking, that's not the income tax rate that they're paying. That's like capital gains or some other form of income that they're making, which is why they're paying a lower rate than a school teacher. But it's like, dude, if high taxes were the way to a prosperous society, wouldn't we be there by now? Like, wouldn't it? But just explain to me how this is supposed to work, because they love to, the Elizabeth Warrens of the world, they love to rag on trickle-down economics, which is a term that they coined really disingenuously. But that's the idea where it's like, okay, you give high net worth individuals a tax break, right? So the money doesn't go toward the federal government for them to piss away on all their pork barrel bullshit. But instead, you know, you keep the money with the billionaires and the millionaires, and they reinvest it in their companies. They grow the economy, they hire more people, and, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. That's their definition of trickle down economics, and it doesn't work apparently. But how is this not even more trickle down, where Elizabeth Warren steals money from the millionaires and billionaires? It goes from their pockets to Washington, D.C., and then Washington, D.C. distributes it to Wall Street and all these politically connected entities in and around, all their donors and everybody in the Washington, D.C. area, and all these programs. And then you have to apply to this program or something, or the program has to get running, or this, like you were talking about with the infrastructure bill. Then you have to wait for the government to spend the money on these shovel ready jobs. And that's supposed to, that, like, that's the trickle down. You have to wait fucking forever. And it, for some reason, it never seems to make it to the middle class and the poor, does it? You get some crumbs. You get like the very, very fucking leftover horseshit after they take the big bites out of all the good juicy meat. That's why everybody in fucking Washington, D.C. is a fucking millionaire. The richest counties in the country are in and around D.C. and around New York. That's, we're waiting for that to trickle. Like, somehow that's supposed to trickle down to fucking Alabama. Oh, okay. Unbelievable. Yeah, she's so fucking, the sound of her voice, like that hairstyle on Like, you know, you're dealing with a fucking Karen when you get like a middle-aged woman with that fucking hairstyle. And she's just, oh, if you made it big, good for you, but you should pay your fair share. And it's just like, dude, she should, how much is she worth again? She's worth a couple million. Yeah. Okay. I honestly, I don't think these politicians should make any money. They shouldn't even collect a fucking salary. It should be like a volunteer thing. And then people be like, oh, well, then you only get rich people in government. And what do we have now?
Right.
You got any poor people in government right now?
Give them like a per diem and that's it. They
get like $1 million fucking budget for the year for fucking travel. It's ridiculous. They're fucking crooks, dude. All of them. And then they just point to like 10 people that are making a lot of money. Be like, oh, we just need another 2 cents from them. It's unbelievable, man. It's unfucking believable. And of course, dude, it always just ends up getting piled on to people that are not ultra millionaires. They're the ones that, you know, the top 10% pay what? Is it 90% of the fucking income? It's like a crazy percentage. They pay more than half. I know that. And that's people, you know, making over 250,000 a year up to like 10 million or something, right? Like they're the ones that bear the brunt of this thing, not fucking Jeff Bezos.
Speaking of buying a lottery ticket, did you see that the lottery got up to like 1.2 billion again, and somebody in a blue state won again? It's always a blue state winner anytime it gets up over a billion. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, yeah, I hadn't noticed that.
The last 3 billion plus winners were from California. This time it was New Jersey. Just interesting how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so they'll get to bring home what, 600 million after taxes?
Maybe. I mean, you know, nothing to sneeze at, but still.
Yeah. Not a bad haul. Not a bad haul, but it is a fucking a tax on stupidity, the lottery. Oh, God. Yeah.
Speaking of the billions and the millions and all of the money, Trump is there have been plenty of developments in the Trump bond.
Yeah. Payroll. Yeah. I went kind of into a deep dive into this last night for some reason. I got sucked into a couple of things. Court orders New York Attorney General to withdraw a letter saying $464 million Trump bond is not impossible. So basically the appeals court knocked this down from 464 to 175 million, which is still an insane number. I think this was probably intentional. Be like, oh, you know, we'll ask for a gajillion dollars and then the appeals court will knock it down to like still like the most ridiculous bond anybody's ever had to post. 175 million, but Trump's got it. He was claiming that he had the 464. Of course, you know, he's rich and tremendous, but he's certainly got the 175. And now that True Social merged with what was the name of that company? They went public and they merged. So Trump's net worth jumped by like $3 billion since Friday. DWAC or whatever. DWAC, I think, was the name of the ticker. And now it's DJT, Donald J. Trump. And he owns like fucking 69% of the outstanding shares.
Of course and he does. Of course he owns 69%. Like
that's I'm pretty sure it's 69 point something. And yeah, it just took off after the IPO. And so his net worth fucking went up big. So he's legit for sure. He's a billionaire now, at least wherever the stock price is for the time being. Yeah. And this kind of gets at the heart of some of the issues of so-called fraud that he's being charged with. we can maybe this will be the lead in for the Jon Stewart thing, because the Daily Show is still, it's back for any of those that haven't been paying attention. Jon Stewart is back on the Daily Show and it's still just a fucking trash show. He's so fucking disingenuous. But so they're charging him with fraud. They're saying he lied about, you know, his net worth. They lied about his income, like how much money his buildings were worth and, you know, these revenue streams and everything like that. And it's just, there's just no way around this. It's not a lie. These are like estimates. These are market value estimates. These are future revenue projections. These are things like, you can't lie about a projection into the future. Like, the only thing I could see that was like that they really glob onto with he committed fraud, he lied on these documents, was like the penthouse square footage thing, where it's like it's an 11,000 square foot penthouse and it was listed as like 30,000 in one of these appraisals. And it's like, all right. Okay. I don't know. That's it.
But it was listed that way on the appraisal. So that would be on the
appraisal. I think it was on the appraisal. Right. I mean, I don't think, yeah, I'm pretty, I don't know where else it would have been listed. But so yeah, basically, well, let's play the Jon Stewart clip, because it's like five or six minutes long. We can pause it and kind of break it down along the way.
You know, let's take a step back. What did Trump actually do to earn this penalty? Well, it turns out that for a decade, whenever Trump wanted to get a loan or make a deal, he would illegally inflate the value of his real estate. For instance, suggesting that his 11,000 square foot penthouse was a 30,000 square foot penthouse, I guess somehow including the sky in the calculation. We all do it. I mean, in my license, I'm not listed as 5'7", you know. I'm listed as 30,000 square feet.
Remember when Jon Stewart was 10?
I mean, that's, thank you. And the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated, because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very sophisticated real estate practice known as lying.
Yeah, okay. Pause it right there. So I don't know if Jon Stewart can possibly be this dumb and this successful. I'm leaning towards he is actually just lying to you. Like, he's just being disingenuous. And this is why I hate this fucking show, because it masquerades as like a news. It's like, yeah, it's comedy, but it's also news. And this is where a lot of young people used to get their news. I don't know if they still do. Maybe they're coming back onto it now that he's into it. I don't get to decide my property tax rate, like what my house is worth. My property tax assessment on the house. That's not how it works. The government does that. The government gives you a tax assessment. They say, this is, you know, your house is worth $500,000. This is what your tax rate is based off of, this assessment. And you're like, okay. And then you pay that. Or you could be like, no, that's, you could argue it. You go to court, like you can try to argue that they're overvaluing it and maybe they'll knock it down a little bit. They did that with my condo association, argued that, and they got it knocked down a little bit, but property tax, they were still fucking outrageous. But it wasn't like, I wasn't just being like, oh yeah, government, this is what my place is worth. So this is how much I'm going to pay you in property. Like, he's not valuing it. That's so, yeah, that's like that's a tax assessment. And then when he goes for the loan, yes, that's a market value, which is not only kind of subjective, but constantly changing. Property tax assessments, it's like sometimes they do it every year, but usually it's like once every like 7 years or something like that. The market value changes all the time to demand and things like that. So that's not lying either. When you put your like house on the market or something, you're not lying about the value. That's what you think the value is. And there's different ways of coming up with the valuation, especially if it's, you know, the building generates revenue or something like that. So he would go into the, you know, he would apply for the loan. He'd be like, this is the market value of my building. And I went through some of these disclosures and some of the documents, and even like the testimony from the loan officers, like at the bank, the people that were underwriting these loans, they were like, yeah, you know, like we basically gave him like a 50% haircut on any valuation he gave. Like he said it was worth $5 billion. We valued it at $2.5 billion. It's like a give and a take. They give a value, they get a value, and then they agree on a fucking number. That's how it works. It's not lying. It's just like, we just disagree on the value of the house. And then he illegally lowered his tax rate. It's like, no, he didn't. That's complete bullshit. It's complete and utter horseshit.
The value that he gained from the lying with interest was around $454 million. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, that sounds pretty straightforward. Whatever gains you got from lying, you have to pay back. Well, that's because you're a f***ing idiot. If you knew anything about business, if you had an MBA, you'd know. You're a f***ing idiot.
We're talking about a victimless crime. They find an ordinance or a law that has never been used ever before in anyone else.
He's committed bank fraud where there's no victim. It makes no sense.
No victims. There was no victim. The ruling is blatantly unfair.
That didn't go over very well with the investment community because we're all asking each other, who's next?
Ah, who's next? The persecuted minority of the investment community. First they came for the arbitragers, and I said nothing. For I was not an arbitrager. And then they came for the quants. Which I could be, I don't know what a quant. But I am surprised to hear this from Kevin O'Leary, a guy who's such an asshole. Wait. That even the other people on Shark Tank thinks he's an asshole. Now, he's very chill. I'm surprised to hear that he's so chill about overvaluing something that he thinks is victimless. Because when someone tries to do that to him,
which one of you do I absolutely tear to pieces now on a $28 million valuation?
You think this is worth $10 million?
Absolutely.
Okay, now I'm going to rip your pieces. Are you out of your mind?
Your valuation's insane.
Your valuation's crazy. I think that's a crazy valuation.
I think your valuation is stinky poo-poo.
Because Kevin O'Leary is the one who's going to be investing in it. The banks have the opportunity to look at whatever Trump has put forward as the valuation and decide if that's worth the money or not and what they actually valued it.
Yes. Like he's literally proving Donald Trump's case with that clip, essentially.
Right.
It's not the government's business to be like, oh, well, you lied about your valuation. Everything that is used to determine market value is like pretty subjective. I mean, yes, there are like cash flows on these things. And as far as I know, like, I mean, this thing's fucking, the ruling's like 93 pages long. I didn't read the whole thing, but I went through, like, I didn't see like anything where he provided a bank statement that said he had $10 million and it was completely fake. He actually only had $5 million in the bank. Like there's nothing like that. It's always just like, oh, well, you know, like he used, you know, we disagree with the way that he calculated this or they calculated that, which again is Donald Trump doesn't do that. Like his accountants do that. And I'm sure I don't think they were audited and it said like they didn't comply with the generally accepted accounting practices. As far as I know, that didn't happen.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, it's like, how do you value a golf course? I don't know. Like, how do you value this fucking Mar-a-Lago thing?
Right. His lawyers and his accountants are the ones who are putting together the numbers and they're giving those numbers to the bank. And then the bank is looking at those numbers and making their own assessment and finding the place in the middle where they agree on it. Like,
yeah. So this is from the official ruling here. Before approving the credit facility, the private wealth management division consulted Deutsche Bank's valuation services group about market conditions to arrive at a conservative estimate of the value of the commercial real estate should a need arise to liquidate during bad market conditions. In doing so, the valuation services group applied a 50% haircut to the valuations presented by the client. The client would be Donald Trump and company, which this guy affirmed was the standardized number for commercial real assets. Okay. They affirmed that the blah, 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 blah division would not have done business with Donald Trump without a personal guarantee, and that the personal guarantee was the reason for favorable pricing on the loan and the large size of the loan itself. So he had to maintain the part of the personal guarantee was he had to maintain a net worth of $2.5 billion. Okay. How do you determine net worth, dude? Like I said, his just went up by $3.5 billion the last 3 days because the stock went up. Like, net worth is also just like a fucking thing that's really hard to determine when you have a lot of it. It's very easy when you just have like a fucking paycheck coming in every month and you don't really own any fucking real estate. You have no assets that fluctuate in value to calculate. Like, if you're a broke ass, it's very easy to calculate your net worth and it's not going to change very much. But if your entire net worth is tied up in the fucking stock market, well, then one day, you know, you're worth this much and the next day you're worth that. And how do you value the property? Like, you know, it's all fucking subject to market conditions, which change constantly. So these aren't lies in the way that most people would view lies. This is a perversion of the word. The only hard number lie that I see in here is the square footage thing. And I honestly, I don't know exactly where that appeared. But again, it's like these things are appraised. You hire an outside appraiser. You have to. That's in the Dodd-Frank bills. So I guarantee you Deutsche Bank wasn't like, ooh, 30,000 square foot penthouse. Give him the loan. like if he had just listed it as 11, like that should, I don't think that's going to matter on $185 million loan or whatever. Like the size of the penthouse, I don't think is like a big fucking deal. That's not a deciding factor. And by the way, I have worked in compliance for these for not Donald Trump size loans, but when people are applying for loans. Oh, that was the other thing that one of the other complaints that they had in this was that they intentionally left out appraisals and things like that. So I've done this for a living, and basically, when you go through like the compliance thing for a fucking loan, by the way, is long. There's like hundreds of fucking items they have to provide. You have to provide all kinds of fucking documentation to back up what you're saying on the loan docs. You know, W-2s, 2 weeks, you know, 2 months worth of pay stubs, tax returns, all of this stuff, right? Assessments. And you go through, the compliance officer goes through. That you turn over the package of all the documents that they're supposed to have, and you go through your checklist and like, all right, the pay stubs are there. The W-2 is there. It looks good. They're in compliance with this. They're in compliance with that. Here's the up. Oh, they don't have the appraisal. So then you go back to the client and you say, hey, I need, you know, you're missing this document, that document. We need your appraisal. And then they resubmit that. And then you go through it to make sure it looks okay. That's how compliance works. So like, if they didn't get everything that was required, then they don't fund the loan or their compliance office fucking sucks. So this again, that's not like, huh? Go ahead.
This is a fairly concise explanation of it. This tweet here says, for the idiots, Trump, my penthouse is 30,000 square foot and worth $1 billion. The bank, that's great, but our appraisal said it's only 10,000 square foot and 40 million. We'll let you borrow 30 million against it. Trump, I accept. Democrats, Trump stole $450 million.
Yeah, essentially. That's what they're saying. Now, yeah, I mean, like, it's not fraud to disagree on the value of your property. It's not fraud to disagree on, like, future cash flows of your property. I remember in one part of the thing, they were like, well, he was making assumptions that like it would be operating at full capacity when like it's never really out. It's like, okay. So he used rosy assumptions when he was coming up with his valuation. It's like, yeah. And then the bank used, what did they use? Unfavorable assumptions. A 50% haircut was standard, the standard number for commercial real assets, because they're worried about liquidation should bad market conditions supply. So they're using bad market conditions, the worst ones, the people that are willing to loan the money. And the one trying to borrow the money is using the best market conditions possible. All right. And then they meet somewhere in the middle. That's kind of how it goes. It's not fraud. Anywhere you fucking slice it. I'm sorry. It's just so disingenuous. And then to say, like, you know, he benefited, like the extra interest would have been like this $464 million. It's like, all right, I don't know if that number adds up or not, but it's just like, he might not have taken the loan. Like if he had to pay that much in interest, maybe the loan doesn't make sense to take at that point. So maybe the project never even gets funded if he doesn't get the favorable loan terms. I don't know. And then, oh, he's going to get to, we can keep rolling. I don't know. Did I cover all that? Okay. Were you following that stuff? I don't know.
I thought you covered it pretty well.
All right, yeah. Let's keep going here. Cause he makes another retarded point that I'd like to address.
Oh no, you didn't. Canadians are so vulgar. How is he not this mad about overvaluations in the real world? Because they are not victimless crime. First, the banks got paid back at lower interest rates, although to be honest, who gives a shit? But second, money isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation. So the system becomes incentivized for corruption. And this is part of a different Trump fraud case, but avoiding taxes hurts all of us. Donald Trump shenanigans cost the city of New York. And to be honest, and let's be frank here, that is money that the city of New York could have used to build more Walgreens. Now, some blocks only have two of them. Leave it to Kevin O'Leary to be unaware enough to say the quiet part out loud.
I hear about the so-called victimless crimes, but the laws on the books, falsification of business records in second degree, issuing false financial statements, insurance fraud, conspiracy, and all these different aspects of it, those are actual crimes. I take it your point is that these should not have been prosecuted?
Everything you just listed off is done by every real estate developer everywhere on earth in every city. This has never, ever been prosecuted.
There is a theory in law that if enough people commit a crime, it automatically becomes legal. You're familiar with The Purge, are you not?
Okay, go ahead and pause it. Oh man, there's another fucking 2.5 minutes. So, listen, I mean, that's kind of the wrong approach. Be like, oh, well, everybody does it. So the thing is, he's not really issuing false financial statement. As far as I can tell, he's not. Like, right. there were no actual
financial statements. There were his assessments or valuations, which are not financial statements.
No, I know there's numbers on them, but it's like, yeah, he's not saying like, I have $50 million when he only has 20 million, and he's like doctoring bank statements and tax returns and faking stuff, like actually putting in wrong numbers of like hard numbers, like numbers you can't dispute. Like I have this much money. That's not what's happening here. It's just not. So like issuing false financial statements. No, that's just not what's going on. So yeah, I mean like everybody uses, I think what Kevin O'Leary is trying to get at here is everybody uses rosy assumptions when they're trying to determine the market value of their properties. Yes.
And the reason that it's never prosecuted is because all of the banks go and do their due diligence and figure out what the actual valuation should be.
Right.
So there's no crime.
Right. And then they harp on this. Oh, there's no victim. What about the person that didn't get the loan because Donald Trump got the loan? Look, that again, just bullshit. Like if a person applies for a loan and they are in compliance with all of the bank's compliance requirements, the bank will fund the loan. I mean, they'll just there's a bunch of different ways they can do it. They can warehouse it, which is basically their way of using somebody else's capital to fund the loan. Like they can go to somebody else and be like, yo, like they meet all of our requirements. They could sell the loan to somebody else. Like they will find a way to get it funded if it's in compliance. They'll sell it to another bank. They'll borrow the money and then they'll sell it to somebody else. There's no evidence that anybody, that there was crowding out. Like, right. And it's like, oh yeah, because Donald Trump got a $200 million loan. Like you got denied your $50,000 small business loan, Joe Sixpack. It's like, no, dude, no, maybe one of those Walgreens didn't get their loan. I don't know. But it's like, yeah, then there's plenty of other banks to go to. This, like I said, I mean, the fractional reserve banking that they're doing, this idea that the victims here are the ones who didn't get their loans because Donald Trump got his and there just wasn't enough money to go around. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like hypothetically, yeah, I suppose it could happen, but if they review your fucking, your loan docs and you're in compliance and they're willing to fund the loan, they'll find a way to fund it. There's six ways from Sunday for them to get the money to loan you. So yeah, there's no documented victim here. Like banks they never run out of money because it's monopoly money at this point. he keeps going, doesn't he? What else does he talk about in there? Let's let him finish up. Is any of this funny to you, by the way? I guess the Kevin O'Leary valuation thing was kind of funny.
The Walgreens thing, I guess that was kind of
there
funny.
Two on each block. Yeah. Okay. I guess he has his moments, but it's just like, I can't laugh at this shit because it's so wrong.
Right. Maybe when we were in college and we were retards and we didn't know it, like it seemed like this stuff was funny. Right.
Well, that's what he's preying on them. He's preying on ignorant people, and he makes like, if you don't know any better, yes, like this sounds compelling. Like he just lied. He lied on these documents. He lied. It's like, where did he actually lie about something that's concrete?
Right.
Entitled arrogance. I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it. Try getting a car loan by saying you have 10 times as much money as you really do, or claim 20 dependents when you have no children, or say you make slightly less money to qualify for food assistance. I will guarantee you there are not just financial consequences for those lies, but criminal ones.
But there are also people who double check that, which is exactly what happened with Trump and his loans as well.
Dude, and yes, and you can't, like,
in their minds,
when you provide actual, so like the financial statements that are in question here are the market values of his properties, right? Which we've been over, those fluctuate and they are somewhat subjective. When you're applying for a car loan, you say, I make $50,000 a year. And they say, okay, show me your pay stubs. Show me your last two pay stubs. Show me your tax returns or something like that. And then you hand those over and they check them. And if you're like, if you fake a fucking pay stub, I guarantee you they don't like call the cops on you. They're probably just like, yeah, no, this doesn't look legit. We're not going to fund the loan. And they tell you to go fuck yourself. I don't think in the history of government programs that there's ever been any fraud in applying for food stamps or any sort of welfare benefits. No. Those have always been on the up and up. And anybody that even dared try to lie about their financial condition to receive welfare benefits, they were immediately brought up on charges. As long as it was an election year for them and they were running for something important. Isn't that also just amazing that all of these things just happen to coalesce into the year 2024?
Right.
Despite them, you know, these are just such serious fraud charges. We're so upset about this. And also, you know, sexual harassment and defamation and classified documents and like everything. And they go back, some of them go back 10 years, some of them go back 4 years, but none of them are from like the last 2 years. All of a sudden, it's just like 2024 is the year we get them for everything. And we can't possibly let these crimes go unpunished. So again, to Kevin O'Leary's point, if this is, you know, if New York is really just this upset about the falsification of business records, how many other businesses are getting away with this? Getting away with this fraud? I mean, these poor banks that aren't making as much in interest. And then all these people that need to borrow money from the bank that can't, they're getting crowded out because all of these fraudsters are lying to the banks and manipulating them into giving them loan money. How many more people do we need to take down in New York alone? And all these tax dollars that they're missing out on. I looked at, like, dude, some of these properties that are like $10, $20, $50 million properties, the tax assessment value on them is like a fraction. Like if you had like a $20 million house, what do you think that the tax assessment value would be on that?
You would think it would be, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of the $20 million.
Right. Like my condo in Chicago was the tax assessment was $400,000. I paid like a little over $300,000 for it. Okay. So it was, and then I sold it for $400,000 eventually. Like it was right in there. If you look at some of these things, it's like a $20 million property. The tax assessment is like $900,000.
That's John Stewart's apartment or penthouse or whatever. He sold it for like $17.5 million. The city of New York only valued it at $1.9 million, and he sold it for $17.5 million. Like
there you go. Look at all the tax dollars that they missed out on because you were illegally devaluing your property. It's like no, they valued it. Are you supposed to argue? Like you're supposed to go back? No, it's worth this much. It's worth more than you said. So anybody that, and according to John Stewart, anybody that ever takes a fucking deduction on their tax, on their income taxes is really screwing over the city that they live in, or the state that they live in, because they didn't get as much tax revenue as they deserved. Oh, it's all just so ridiculous. Yeah, I love, they always just come up with the worst analogies. I got involved in like some stupid fucking Twitter post, and it was like, I don't even want to pull it up because it's so fucking cringe, but it was like, dude, the analogies they use are just so bad and so off base. Or he's just like, imagine if you went into a car dealership and you lied about your income. There'd be repercussions for that. Imagine if you applied for a mortgage and you lied about your income. Was anybody alive back in 2000, like leading up to 2008? Everybody fucking, they didn't even ask sometimes. The ninja loans, no income, no job. Okay. Yeah. Like, dude, everybody was lying on those applications. How many people went to jail for that? I mean, that brought down like the fucking global economy. Right. Those people lying on their fucking applications. But that was okay.
Yeah, who knew I could list my shitty O2 Accord for $50,000 and people would just accept it. Right.
Yes. Well, in New York, they'll just start confiscating your other assets because somebody willingly purchased it from you or gave you a loan against it. Oh man, it's so ridiculous, man. It's so fucking ridiculous. And after everything that Donald Trump's been done in his life, like this is what they can do. This is what they got him on. You lied about the size of your penthouse on some loan documents.
Well, and like the hell of it is, because if it had gone all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, they'd have said it was because of the justices that Trump put it. This was the New York Supreme Court that said that the $464 million was unreasonable. Like not a bunch of conservatives. Like this was the New York State Supreme Court that that shut down their AG right. on there.
Yeah, it was. That is kind of a win for him, but I do want to keep it in perspective. It's still an insane fucking penalty to have to pay for not really doing anything that wrong. I don't like, and who, like, dude, I don't know about this pen, like the square footage on this penthouse. It's like, okay, again, like, was that a determining factor? That determined that that was like, I don't know if we should loan him this money. We would do it at 6% interest if this penthouse wasn't so big, but it's just so big. We'll give him it 4.5 because it's 30,000 square feet. Like, that's just not how these loans work.
And again, that's one of those things that if he said it was 30,000, they would have had somebody that like actually checked it out, and like they would have done due diligence on something like that. And was
higher,
it?
Yeah.
And was it 30,000 total space versus 10,000 livable space? Like, what's the, how does all of that, you know?
Right. Yeah. And who knows? Like, and dude, they're just so fucking dishonest. Like, I don't see, I went through like the vast majority of it because somebody posted, they're like, oh, read this. And I was like, yeah, did you fucking read it, dude? It's 93 pages long of just like bullshit. But it's just stuff like that where they just like, yeah, he falsified this document. He falsified it. What did he falsify? Like, what concrete thing did he falsify other than this square footage? Which, again, like, I don't know. Yeah, is there outdoor space? Does that include, like, the fucking terrace or something? I don't know. But just, like, it's all just so fucking ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And that they're this upset about it. It really is a fucking syndrome. It's an absolute syndrome. And the real thing to remember, like, I am much... So, if, let's say... Everything Donald Trump did, he did everything they're accusing of him of doing. He did. He lied on these financial statements and he took advantage of the banks. Okay. I'd much rather have that happen than this scenario where the government can come in, claim that you lied, provide practically no evidence of concrete lie. Like, all these things are just kind of open to interpretation as far as I can tell. They get involved in a business deal between two people that come together, or two entities that come together and agree on a deal. And there's, you know, neither party is complaining about the outcome of the deal. They both seem to be okay with it. The banks even testified on Donald Trump's behalf that they were happy with the deal and that they would like to keep doing business with them. Okay. I'd much rather have that scenario take place than this alternative where the government can come in, claim that you lied, you know, fucking put you in these stacked courts. Like, this was a summary judgment. Everyone thinks it like went in front of a jury or something. It's like, no. They found a fucking judge who didn't like the guy. They had a DA who didn't like the guy. They had a fucking they can put you in their own little fucking court, their kangaroo court they've propagandized. Everybody, well, what'd the court say? I'll side with the prosecutor on this one and the court and judge and this and that. So they put you in there. They put you in their fucking court, figuratively and literally. It's like, yeah, in their house where they have everything stacked against you. Then they claim this and they claim that. The judge bangs a gavel. They say you owe a ridiculous amount of money. Or they're just going to start taking your shit. That's far more criminal than anything Donald Trump is being accused of. And I want to live. I don't want to live in that world. I don't. Like, that's the main takeaway here is like what the government is doing to this person is far worse than what they're accusing him of doing. So. Yeah, it's a far scarier path to be going down when you give them that much power and then trust that they'll only use it against Donald Trump because he's uniquely evil. Yeah, we've never seen that play out before, right? They always just say, oh, it's just going to be this one time. It's just going to be this one guy. It's just going to be this one group. Taxes, social media censoring, anything like that. It always just stopped right there, right? It was never the camel's nose under the tent. Nope. They just did it that one time. Barack Obama, his administration had no plans of using the NDAA against American citizens. Fool me once.
Fool me twice. Can't be fooled again.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we're kind of over running over on time. But yeah, I went down kind of a fucking rabbit hole with that last night. I was having trouble sleeping and I was like getting involved in these fucking things. It's just
you ought to write a Substack on it.
Yeah, I'm behind on the, I am going to put out a Substack this week, but I'm already behind on it. I don't know. You got anything else? Do we get to everything? What else did I send you?
Yeah, I mean, we covered pretty well everything. The other stuff was also in relation to this. It was Joe Biden trying to call Donald Trump broke Don.
Dude, could you be any more out of touch? Who is doing, like, who? This is what DEI gets you. This is the branding. Broke Don because he can't come up with $500 million in cash. When, in an economy when people can't come up with $500 if they're in an emergency, he thinks ripping on Donald Trump for being, having trouble coming up with $500 million at the drop of a dime. Yeah, I'm going to call him Broke Don. And then, yeah, of course, he goes public with fucking True Social or whatever and makes, you know, another couple billion. Fucking nailed it. He just fucking nailed it. It really is just unbelievable. I don't think I need to go through any more of this, but they even had, like, somebody posted this article. I responded. I usually don't like jump into these fucking Twitter things because it's like it's pointless. But somebody was like, the headline of this like New York Times article read like, Trump employee and appraiser testified against him in court or something like that. And the person's like, Trump hired his own employee as an outside claiming he was an outside appraiser. And they linked to this article. And so I clicked on it and I read it. And the employee and the appraiser were two different people. The employee was Donna Kidder or whatever her name is, his accountant. I think she was the accountant. And then the appraiser was Doug Larson, who's an outside certified New York appraiser, New York real estate appraiser. So yes, they both testified that day, but he didn't hire his employee, tell his employee, be like, oh, pretend to be an outside appraiser and give this building a $1 billion valuation so I could fleece the bank. As far as I know, neither of them, I didn't read their entire testimony, but I read the article and they quoted them and didn't say anything like that. It just said, you know, like, yeah, they even identified the guy. They said Doug Larson, outside certified real estate appraiser, said this and said that. And he said that he disagreed with some of the valuations that the accounting department came up with or something. He disagreed with them. It's like, okay, you're allowed to do that. He disagreed with some of the methodology or something. Was the methodology illegal? As far as I can tell, no, I don't know. I'm not a certified public accountant, but I don't see any of those charges in there. All I see is that we disagree on the valuation. Therefore, you lied about the valuation. Therefore, it's fraud and we're going to take all your shit.
Seems like a stretch by any measure.
Right. And then anybody that's being honest, it's just way too coincidental that this is all just falling into place in an election year. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's more stuff here. Like, yeah, dude, the appraisal, it's like, anyway, yeah, that's enough. I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I guess you can call it. Yeah, you got to go. We're way over time. I guess you can call it. It's our only podcast this week, so we'll make it extra long. I guess you could call it a win for Donald Trump because he saved, like $300 million on this bond. But still an outrageous bond to have to post for, lying about the square footage, getting the square footage wrong on your loan docs. And that does sound like a really big penthouse, 30,000 square feet. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what sort of a deciding factor that had on the interest rates.
And again, like they're taking Donald Trump's word on how many square feet his penthouse is and not actually like checking it out, especially on something that size, like 30,000 square feet. They're going to check that out. They're not.
Or they're just like, you know, we don't even care what he says, because whatever he says, we're dividing it by two.
Right.
Like, it's the way like I negotiate here in Mexico. They name an outrageous price. I'm like, I'll give you half of that. And they're like, ah, I can't possibly do that. And I'm like, all right, I'll leave then. And I start walking away. And they're like, okay, wait, how much do you want to pay? And I was like, I gave you my number. Half of what your fucking outrageous price was. It's just like, and sometimes we in the middle, sometimes I just go to the next place. They all have the same shit. And that's what he would have done with the banks. Although, you know, I don't know how many of these banks do like doing business with him, because he does file for bankruptcy quite a bit. But again, not illegal.
Right.
And like, oh man, poor Deutsche Bank, though. I do feel for them. They missed out on a couple hundred million of extra interest in theory. Yeah. But like I said, like, you just can't assume that he would have taken those loan. Maybe it doesn't make sense to do the project if you got to pay another $464 million in interest. So, yeah. Did I send you something? Was that it? Those were all the big stories? Okay. You got to go to work. I have to go see how much fucking money I would have made on this trade if I had entered it at the right time.
Just don't do it. Better to not know.
I'm gonna see it. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a huge loss or anything. I only put on like half a position because I was like, I just didn't. It wasn't a good day to be trading, but it was I read the move correctly, and I just got a little anxious with it. I think I entered a little too soon. So let that be a lesson to you. I was patient for 90% of the day. From 6:15 to 1 o'clock. Yeah. 6:15 to 1 o'clock. I waited and I waited and I waited. And then I got a little anxious, jumped the gun a little bit, and got stopped out by a Conter. So anyway. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm gonna put something out for the Substack, because we're not doing a Friday episode, right?
I'll be out of town.
Where are you going?
Easter weekend, just going home to the farm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Semana Santa, I think, is starting here this week. So, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of ranchero music playing. Lots of accordions. All right. Well, yeah, thank you all so very much for listening. We will be back on Tuesday with a brand new episode, our regularly scheduled programming. And in the meantime, keep an eye out for a Substack, maybe two. I'll probably put out an article and then maybe some audio clips for you guys. Because I don't want to do much for Semana Santa. It's too crowded. So I'll probably just be a fucking recluse here. And I'll put out some more content for you guys. And until Tuesday, you guys know what to do. Just keep on peddling that so-called fiction. Peace.